A Contra Podcast, conversations for the curious, essential knowledge, simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Contra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We're diving into something today that I think really gets to the heart of why so many of us feel burnt out. You know, if you're someone who's done everything right, got the education, the job, you have good relationships, but deep down there's this feeling of anxiety, maybe hollowness, or just being off. Well, this deep dive is for you. We are unpacking Martha Beck's really insightful book, The Way of Integrity, Finding Wholeness.
It's such a relevant book. It's almost like a survival guide for people feeling, you know, successful on the outside but exhausted inside. Beck offers this quite radical idea. She suggests that the real root cause of a lot of suffering, whether it's that constant low hum of anxiety or something more like depression, isn't about your external circumstances being wrong. It's about an internal break, a breach of integrity.
But she means integrity differently, right? It's not the usual sense of like strict morals or always being perfectly ethical.
Exactly. And that's such a key point. For Beck, integrity isn't judgmental. It's descriptive. It means being integrated, whole, unified, or as she puts it so well, in one piece. When who you are inside doesn't line up with how you live outside, you're essentially split, psychologically, even physically, and that split, it causes pain. The book is basically a roadmap for putting yourself back together.
That makes sense. And it helps that Martha Beck herself has this really solid background. Can you tell us a bit about her credentials? Because that mix seems important here.
Oh, definitely. She holds 3 degrees from Harvard, including a PhD in sociology. And that combination is, well, it's pretty unique. She has the academic rigor to analyze the social pressures pushing us out of alignment, but also the practical, heart-centered coaching experience to actually help people heal those splits.
And I think what makes her voice so authentic is that she's lived it. This isn't just theory for her. Her authority comes from her own journey. She's very open about her own search for integrity, which led her to make huge changes, leaving a prestigious academic track, resigning from the Mormon Church, which had, you know, defined her whole life up to that point.
Absolutely. She walked that path herself, faced the challenges. Her earlier books sort of laid the groundwork, but The Way of Integrity feels like a culmination. It distills really decades of her coaching work and personal experience into this one cohesive framework. It gives us a clear way to think about closing that gap between the person society expects and the person you genuinely are.
Okay, so let's get into that framework, that map she provides. The core issue, you said, is this conflict between the essential self, our inner knowing, our intuition, and the social self.
Yes, the social self is that persona we build, often very skillfully, to gain acceptance, approval, you know, to survive socially and professionally. And the split, the pain, happens when that social self, in its quest for external validation, keeps betraying the essential self. So every time you say yes when your gut screams no, or you stick with a job just for the status, even though it deadens you inside, that's creating the split. Beck sees the resulting suffering, the burnout, the anxiety, not as a failure, but as an intelligent signal, a kind of distress call from your essential self asking for wholeness.
And she uses a really powerful metaphor to structure this journey back to wholeness, doesn't she? Dante's Divine Comedy. That's quite a frame.
It's brilliant, isn't it? It reframes what can feel like a messy, confusing personal struggle into something almost epic, a quest, and it maps so well. We usually start like Dante, lost in the dark wood of error. That's that state of confusion, maybe unhappiness, where you realize your life just isn't working, even if it looks good on paper.
Right, that feeling of being stuck. And from there, the journey goes into the inferno, which isn't literal hellfire, but more like facing the uncomfortable truths.
Exactly. It's the diagnostic phase. Identifying the specific ways we're lying to ourselves, the feelings we're suppressing that are causing the pain. And after facing those truths in the inferno, you move into purgatory. This is the action phase. It's the often messy, sometimes difficult work of making changes, setting boundaries, speaking truths, dealing with the fallout.
Which isn't easy. But the promise is that this leads to paradise. And Beck's idea of paradise isn't some afterlife thing. It's attainable now.
Yes, that's the really hopeful part. She argues paradise is a psychological state you can live in. It's characterized by flow, clarity, and a kind of effortless joy that comes from finally living in alignment, closing that gap between who you are and who you pretend to be.
Okay, let's walk through those stages. Starting in the dark wood of error, we feel lost, confused. What's the first step Beck offers to help us find our bearings?
She offers something quite radical, actually. She says that your body is the ultimate arbiter of truth, your mind. It can rationalize anything. It's brilliant at spin. But your body, she argues, cannot lie. It physically reflects your state of integrity.
Okay. But how do you tell the difference between, say, your body signaling this isn't right versus just normal nerves or fear? Like, I always feel some tension before a big meeting. Is that my body saying no?
That's a really important question. Beck makes a distinction. She suggests that misalignment, being out of integrity, usually shows up as a persistent feeling. Chronic tension, maybe physical pain that doesn't have an obvious cause, a background hum of dread or constriction. The fear before a meeting might be sharp, acute, but it passes. The dread about your entire career path, that's more likely the signal of incongruence. And the tool she gives us here is the integrity cleanse.
Okay, tell me about the integrity cleanse. What does that involve?
It's basically an ongoing practice of tuning in, constantly gently monitoring your physical and emotional sensations without judging them. Do you feel a sense of lightness, expansion, peace? That's likely alignment and integrity. Do you feel tightness, tension, a sinking feeling in your gut? That's likely misalignment. It becomes like this internal compass for everyday choices.
So once you start using that compass and acknowledge, okay, I am feeling misaligned, I'm lost, then you enter the inferno stage.
Yeah.
Facing the ways we abandon ourselves. You mentioned four gates.
Yes. The inferno is about consciously walking through these four gates of self-abandonment. Gate number one is the hell of denial, or what she calls the unknowable knowns. These are the truths you actually do know deep down, but you actively push away or pretend not to see, like knowing a relationship is truly over or that your job is genuinely making you miserable.
Okay. And the work there is just admitting it.
To yourself, yes, that's the first crucial step. Maybe just writing it down privately. Beck says there's a huge energy shift just in that internal acknowledgement, even before you figure out what to do about it.
Makes sense. What's the second gate?
The hell of emotional avoidance, dealing with unbearable feelings. This one feels very relevant today, doesn't it? Our culture often tells us feelings like anger, grief, or shame are bad or negative. Mm-hmm. We try to suppress them, push them down. But Beck argues they don't just vanish. They get stuck in the body, potentially causing chronic pain or illness. So the path through this gate is about learning to mindfully sit with these feelings, to allow them. Listen to their message. They're trying to tell you something important. They need to be heard to be released.
Okay, gate three. This sounds like where it gets more external. The hell of silence, the unspeakable truths.
Yes, this is about the truths we hide from others. The boundaries we don't set, the needs we don't express, the secrets we keep, usually out of fear of conflict, rejection, disapproval.
So how do you tackle that? Just start blurting everything out?
Not necessarily. She suggests the year of truth, but it's about building the muscle of honesty. Start small, really small, low-stakes truths, like honestly saying you didn't enjoy a movie or prefer a different restaurant. These tiny acts of authentic expression build the capacity for the bigger, harder truths later on.
That feels manageable. Okay, the fourth and final gate.
The hell of limiting beliefs, or the unthinkable thoughts. This is about those expansive possibilities, those dreams you might have that you shut down immediately because they conflict with your ingrained beliefs about what's possible for you or what you deserve.
So like telling yourself, oh, I could never do that, or that's not for people like me.
Exactly. We put ourselves in these tiny boxes based on past programming. The way through this gate, Beck suggests, is playful imagination, just allowing yourself to dream, to consider those unthinkable possibilities, even if they feel completely unrealistic right now. Give yourself permission to imagine.
Wow, okay. So you navigate those four gates, identify the misalignments, then comes purgatory, the action stage. You said it's messy?
It often is, yes. Because this is where your internal shifts start creating external waves. It's the active work of change.
And a key part of this stage is learning to say no, right? The sacred no.
Absolutely foundational. Learning to set boundaries, to say no to things, requests, obligations, even relationships that violate your sense of inner truth, your integrity. Beck emphasizes that without mastering the no, you simply can't maintain alignment. It's non-negotiable.
But saying no, being more authentic, that can upset people.
Oh, it almost inevitably does. That's the social fallout she talks about. If your relationships or your place in a system are built on you being accommodating or playing a certain role, your authenticity will likely cause discomfort. Friends, family, colleagues, they might push back consciously or unconsciously against the new you.
She doesn't sugarcoat that, does she?
No, and that's important. She gives strategies for handling that pushback with compassion, but also firmness. It often involves reinforcing that crucial idea. Your inner peace is more valuable than their temporary approval. It can be the hardest part of the journey. And purgatory also involves cleaning up, which means forgiving yourself for all the times you betrayed your own integrity in the past out of fear or conditioning, and also making genuine apologies where your past inauthenticity might have misled or harmed others.
That sounds like deep work. But the reward is reaching paradise.
What does that state actually feel like, according to Beck?
It's described primarily as a state of flow and effortlessness. When you stop fighting yourself internally, you free up a tremendous amount of energy. She links this to the Taoist idea of Wu Wei, often translated as doing by not doing. It doesn't mean being passive, it means your actions flow naturally from your intuition and truth, rather than being driven by force, obligation, or willpower.
And that's where purpose comes in. It's not something you have to strain to find. Exactly. The promise is that you don't need to go on some desperate external search for your purpose. When you're living in alignment fully yourself, your purpose tends to emerge naturally from what you genuinely love, what feels true, what draws you. You stop chasing and start attracting.
Attracting,
Yeah.
like opportunities.
Yes, that's the magic she describes. When you're consistently living in integrity, things often start to feel, well, synchronistic. The right people, the right resources, the right opportunities seem to show up just when you need them. It's like the universe starts conspiring with you because you're aligned with your own nature.
That idea of effortless action, purpose emerging, that's a really compelling vision. Okay, let's distill this down. If someone listening could only take away a few core messages from this deep dive, what would they be?
Okay. I think the absolute biggest shift is understanding integrity as wholeness. Not morality. That just changes everything. It makes it about healing and self-reunification, not about being good or bad. It's personal, not judgmental.
Yes, that feels crucial. And second, for me, it's the body is the ultimate compass. In this noisy world telling us what to do, having a reliable, internal, non-rational source of guidance, your own physical sensations, feels incredibly empowering. It cuts through all the external advice.
Absolutely. And tied to that is the third major takeaway. Suffering as a sacred messenger. Reframing pain, anxiety, burnout, not as problems to be fixed or pathologies, but as intelligent signals. They're literally showing you where you've gone off course from your true self. The pain is the map pointing back home.
That's such a hopeful reframe. And maybe one more. Something about how to actually do this.
Right. The transformative power of small truths. This whole journey doesn't have to start with some massive life upheaval. It starts with tiny daily acts of honesty, building that truth muscle bit by bit. Those small acts create the strength needed for bigger shifts down the line. It makes it feel achievable.
Yeah, definitely. The book is also full of really memorable lines, isn't it? Little mantras for the journey.
Oh, it really is. They stick with you. We should share a couple. Like the core premise itself. Integrity is the cure for suffering. It is the state of being whole and undivided. That's the central claim right there. Powerful.
And the one linking truth to health, which connects back to the body compass. Every time you lie, you poison your own body. Every time you tell the truth, you are giving yourself a dose of powerful medicine.
That really frames honesty as a radical self-care.
And then there's the one that acknowledges the difficulty, the purgatory stage. The truth will set you free, but first it will piss off nearly everyone you know. It's blunt, but it prepares you for that social fallout, helps you stay the course.
Totally. Which leads perfectly to the ultimate boundary-setting mantra. Your peace is more important than their approval. If you can internalize that one thought, it changes how you navigate so many interactions. Okay, so bringing this right down to earth, how can someone listening start applying these ideas, like today or this week? What are some practical first steps? Well, the easiest entry point is probably the body scan, that integrity cleanse. Just start practicing. Before you commit to something, a meeting, a project, even a social plan, just pause for a second. Tune in. What does your body feel? Expansion and ease, or contraction and dread? Use that feeling as data for your decision.
That feels doable.
Yeah.
What about for something bigger, like career dissatisfaction?
You could use the Four Gates framework just as a diagnostic. You don't need to quit your job tomorrow. Just ask yourself honestly, am I in gate one, denying how unhappy I actually am? Am I stuck in gate three, afraid to ask for a raise or a different role? Just identifying which gate feels most relevant can clarify where the work needs to happen.
Right, pinpointing the source of the friction.
Exactly. And finally, practice authentic communication with those really small, low-stakes truths we talked about. Tell a friend you actually prefer tea over coffee, or that you're not really into that TV show everyone loves. It seems trivial, but it builds the confidence for expressing more significant truths later. You're just flexing the muscle.
So the overall goal is shifting from relying on willpower, which gets exhausting, to relying on alignment, which feels more effortless.
That's it, precisely.
For me, the most lasting insight from revisiting the Way of Integrity is this idea that it's not about striving to be better in some moral sense, but about coming home to yourself. It's fundamentally an act of self-compassion, of self-healing.
I agree, and it provides such a clear, almost mythic structure, Dante's journey, for what can feel like a very confusing, personal, and sometimes scary process of realigning your life with who you truly are. It takes the shame out of feeling lost.
What really resonated with me this time around is the profound validation that our struggles, our pain, our anxiety, it's not random noise. It's intelligent. It's purposeful. It's your deepest self trying to guide you back. Realizing that your discomfort isn't a malfunction, but a message. Wow, that alone can change everything. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Acatra Foundation.